Milwaukee Bucks off to a pretty good start, and I think I am underselling it there when I say that. Bucks are 10-3. Losses to the Clippers, who beat the Warriors last night. Loss to the Trailblazers, who also don't suck. And a loss to the Celtics, who are pretty good, too. 2-2 on the road trip. Gary Wolfel joining us, the West Coast trip. We're talking about that trip, what we thought it would be like. I thought they'd win three games. Gary, I think, said one. Chuck said two, and he was right. And of course, it wasn't the games that we thought they'd win, but a pretty good trip. Gary, how you doing?
Hi,
Gary. I'm doing well. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Gary, I mean, Brook Lopez, did people think his career was pretty much over when the Bucks got him for $3 million? Because, man, that guy has been unbelievable, especially beyond the arc with the way he's shooting threes. I don't remember him being this good.
No, but if you recall, Chuck, a couple of years ago, I know I touched about it in one of the stories I wrote, but and I think some other people did as well. The Bucks had interest in Brook Lopez when Jason Kidd was here. And Kidd really wanted to get him, but they just couldn't figure out a way in which to get him. And so it's not surprising that he ended up in Milwaukee. But he's having a terrific start. And I don't even know if he has to do anything else, right? Just sit on the perimeter and shoot three-pointers, and I guess he's well worth his $3 million.
Well, I remember when he first came into the league, he was just around a rim type of guy, but I guess he had to reinvent himself because that's not the way it's played anymore.
Yeah, and the other thing that was funny was that there was a lot of rumors flying around this summer that they were going to go after Robin, his twin brother, that they were going to try to pull off some deal, perhaps even with Parker involved before he signed, you know, with the Bulls. But, man, I'll tell you what, he's been a godsend. I mean, he's Jack Sigma reincarnated, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even better, though. I mean, super jacked, like to pump the threes. He was the point center of Don Nelson, but man, this is, I mean, 8 of 13 from beyond the arc in Denver tonight. That's totally unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. He just, hope for the Bucks' sake, he can keep it up because, I mean, from a career standpoint, I think he's only like a 32% three point shooter, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that ballpark. But, yeah, I mean, like I said before, he's been a godsend for this team.
Talking with Gary Wolfel, you can check him out, wolfelspressbox.com. Gary, you've covered, and I think I've had a pretty good relationship with John Henson over the years. Nice little back and forth back at Media Day between the two of you. To see him shooting threes, is that insane? I mean, did you ever think you'd see him willingly and shoot about 40% from beyond the arc like this?
It is insane. That is a good word. You know, but Budenholzer has just said, you know, throwing caution to the wind, and he's giving his team, you know, free rein on offense. And it's going to be very interesting to see how teams, you know, defend the Bucks going forward, kind of like, you know, a starting pitcher in baseball. You know, after he's gone through the first through the lineup for the first time, the second time, you know, hitters usually have a pretty good idea what's going to be brought to them. So it's going to be very curious if they put guys on Lopez now and try to run him off the three-point line, and if they let Henson open. I mean, I talked to a couple NBA guys, and they're not buying the Henson three-point stuff. They said, hey, if he wants to shoot him, go right ahead.
Well, he's making some of them. He's shooting well.
Yeah, at this point he is, you know. But again, this is what some other NBA people are telling me that, you know. In fact, I saw one game where I forgot who they played, but the guy that was guarding Henson didn't even make an attempt to go out and guard him. I mean, that was part of the game plan.
Yeah, here's what you do with guys like that. You hope he hits the first three because then he's going to go out there again.
That's what people were thinking about Brook Lopez to start the season,
yeah.
And now he's bombing him from 40 feet out.
I don't know. I think John Henson, I'll continue to let him shoot threes.
Yeah, that's a philosophy a lot of teams have. I mean, yeah. They're going to let him go and you know, even like DiVincenzo, they're saying, hey, back off from DiVincenzo until he proves that he can shoot the three consistently well. They're going to give him the shot. They're not going to guard him as tightly as they would other players.
I'll give John Henson a 10-footer at this point. I tell you, his best shot is a tip-in.
So okay, what about Giannis? Now, how come nobody ever talks about Giannis' three-point shooting?
Well, he's the guy who I just think he...
Oh, Gary, it's people do... No, people... People do. I'm following Twitter on Sunday night, okay?
Yeah.
And Bucks fans are just having the meltdown of meltdowns and blaming Giannis for the loss that never happened. But the three-point shooting people are worried about, and his free throw shooting is also very poor right now.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is playing well. I mean, anybody that thinks he's not playing well is, you know, delusional. But there are areas of his game that he definitely has to improve, and three-point shooting is one of them. And I remember talking to him and a couple other guys, you know, a couple of years ago when Kidd was here, and Kidd made it abundantly clear to him and Parker in particular and a couple other guys that he did not want them to shoot the three under any circumstance, okay? I mean, Kidd was not convinced that Giannis could be a three-point shooter. But, you know, Budenholzer has more of a carefree attitude, and he's given him that freedom.
Yeah, but do the Bucks really need him to be a three-point shooter since he's so good in other areas? And, you know, this, despite, I mean, aside from LeBron, I want to say Giannis is probably the second best player in the league at getting his own to the lane.
Yeah, Durant, you know, some of
Durant
like that
too.
Well.
Yeah, but I'm Giannis, man. Not only does he get to the lane, but he gets to the lane and finishes it with a dunk.
Yeah. Now don't misconstrue what I'm about to say, because I'm sure somebody will. But he's Moses Malone. You know what I'm saying? He's just a beast around the basket. What is he shooting around the basket? Some extraordinarily high percentage.
Yeah, I mean, two different types of same height.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Don't misconstrue. But I'm saying, they are around the basket type scorers, and you know, if I'm Budenholzer, I tell Giannis, "Cool it, you know, take your mid-range jumper, you know, but play to your strengths and go down low."
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, talking with Gary Wolfel here, WolfelsPressBox.com. We talked a lot about the East last week with you, and high on Toronto, high on Boston, high on the Bucks. And, you know, I kind of wrote off Philly. I didn't think they did enough. Well,
why would you write off Philly?
I didn't think they did enough. I thought they got worse.
They have two of the best young players in the game.
Well, now they added Jimmy Butler.
Now they got three, yes.
How much do you think that shakes up the East, that move? Because their depth is poor. Their defense is going to be very good with him, but they are not a deep team.
Right. Well, I don't know. I guess you could debate that too. I mean, not as deep as some teams, but I think their bench is pretty solid. Amir Johnson, T.J. McConnell, you know, and now Wilson Chandler. I mean, Wilson Chandler is a pretty darn good player. People just I don't think realize that, but because he played in Denver, you know, in the Western Conference, we don't see him a lot. But I thought that was one of the best off-season pickups by any team.
Yeah, plus their coach. I like Brown, their coach.
Absolutely.
They've stuck through him, with him, through losing seasons, and I think he's darn good, man. I think he's a good fit for that team. And
you think he has a burner account?
A coach, does he? He seems kind of paranoid.
Do you, Gary?
After Jerry Colangelo, or Brian Colangelo, got bounced for his burner account, who knows?
What's your burner account, Gary? I forgot.
You know what? I'd be curious, though. You guys are probably better aware of this. How many do you think the Bucks have?
You know, the Bucks don't need a burner account. They just do it right from their account.
Yeah, there you go. But I would be curious to see how many teams, I'm sure every team does, have burner accounts and try to sway, you know, public opinion, you know, on these websites.
So you didn't deny that you have one?
I don't have one.
Bart does this little trick where he says, "Hey, Bart, Gary, what's the little what was your burner account again?" I mean, some drunk guy at a bar in Fond du Lac might fall for that, but I mean,
right?
Gonna,
he's trying
to get me to follow that for 3 years, and
it
doesn't work.
No one's gonna fall for it. No.
I mean, seriously, if you have to resort to burner accounts in your life, it's a pretty sad life.
yeah, but Bart's right. The Bucks just go at it.
Chuck, what was your burner account again?
Yeah.
Okay, Bart, do you have one?
Has it worked?
I don't. I promise you. I know everyone thinks I've got like 15 of them.
I would
them.
Think you do.
I promise you, okay. I have no burner accounts.
What would I possibly accomplish with a burner account? I can't even keep my regular account updated.
Yeah, but you know, when like people start coming after one of us, then we can defend ourselves from a fake account. I mean, that's pretty much the whole point.
But if I got like one follower on it, does it?
Like if somebody comes and says, "Hey, Chuck Freeman, your hair is fake."
Yeah.
And you're tired of answering that question.
Which I'm tired of answering,
but you hate getting it, so then from your burner account, you'd say, like when I saw you tweet, what did you tweet to some guy the other day about his double chin?
Oh, I said, yeah. I said, "You're talking." Some guy tweeted about my hair. He said to me, "You know, your hair. When are we going to do something about your hair?" And first of all, my hair should be the least of your concerns. If you're worried about my hair, then you know you got some problems.
Yeah, he said, "Chuck said, on a Saturday like morning, those two chins on your face."
And I said, "You got to take care of those two chins." And I mean, real. I mean, unreal.
Yeah. See, Chuck doesn't.
It's
need
like
a
having hair today
either.
is a bad thing. Used to make fun of the bald guys, but today we make fun of the guys we've got here.
So, Chuck, whatever. what's the key to your great hair?
Hereditary.
There you go.
And wash it every day.
Good point.
And listen to REO Speedwagon, I guess.
So, what was your take on the Butler trade? I'll tell you mine real quickly. I think if any team was hurt more by the Butler trade, it was the Bucks. And I'll tell you why. Every time they play him, the one distinct advantage they had was Chris Middleton going against whether it was Covington or Saric, okay, or whoever they threw, you know, at the small forward spot. Now I think he's going to be neutralized. I mean, Jimmy Butler's, you know, that good of a defender.
He's a defensive player of the year, all defensive team.
Absolutely. He's outstanding. So I think if any team was hurt more by this trade, it was Milwaukee.
Yeah, I did not want to see Jimmy come to the East. I was hoping he'd stay out west, maybe go to Houston. I did not. When I saw the alert come on my phone Saturday, I was not happy that he was coming to Philadelphia and making them a better team. He really does. And add him, like you said, add him to those two other stars in the team, Simmons and Embiid, and he got something there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and there's still rumblings. They're going to go out and try to get a shooter. Now, if they do, you know, that'll make it really interesting because I tend to agree with Bart because they lost some good players. I mean, Covington, Saric. You know, they can play. They're solid. And, you know, they're good three-point shooters. So that's a part of their game that's going to be affected by this deal. But nevertheless, if they can go out and get a veteran, you know, shooter, you know, they're going to be awfully tough.
Follow him on Twitter, Gary Wolfel, and only Gary Wolfel. Gary, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.